This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Monday, the 30th of January, 2017. My name's Patrick Smith. We're early this week. A few things going on for us later in the week. So an early recording, but also we get to keep the buzz from the four-point weekend against the Sheffield Steelers. Davey and Sizz will be along in just a minute to look over those games. We also are joined by Steve Saviano, the scorer of the game-winning goal on Sunday night, and Ryan Finnerty, head coach of the Brayhead Clan, who we play this forthcoming weekend. We've got your TFAs. We've also got January's Player of the Month competition and the nominees for that, so you can get your votes in on our Twitter account. But it's all the usual sort of crack, so let's do it. Four points from Sheffield. Two lost, Tony. Well, we'll get back to that. We've got a hell of a show for you. Steve Salviano is coming up to join us, and as well as Ryan Finnerty later on as we look forward to the game against the Brayhead Clan. But first up, must welcome Mr. David McGimsey. How are you, sir?
What about you, Paddy? Nice to talk to you again, as always.
I was supposed to count up your appearance record, wasn't I? And I've totally forgot. I'll count it up for next week. I'm sure it must be near the 150 mark, if not surpassed it. So I'll check how many caps you've got. And also coming in, Mr. Simon Kitchen.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Paddy. How are you?
Not too bad, buddy. Absolutely buzzing after yesterday's game. So, let's get cracking and start talking about them. The Belfast Giants, well, they travelled to Sheffield Arena at the weekend for what was billed as probably, well, they're all going to be it from this here on in, aren't they? The biggest games of the season thus far. A doubleheader in Sheffield Arena, where we really haven't had the rub of the green for maybe a couple of seasons now. However, the two scorelines that came out were absolutely fantastic. On Saturday night, the Belfast Giants took a 5-2 victory over the Steelers. They raced to a 4-0 lead in the first period. Higgins, Quinnell, and two on the power play from David Rutherford. Blair Riley in the second period made it 5-0. And then Sheffield woke up. Colton Freder scored in the second period. And also in the third period, he took a penalty shot, but was unable to convert it. And Luke Ferreira made it 5-2. But the Giants with that brilliant win, 5-2. And Paul Thompson saying that his team felt a little bit stressed at the end of the first period. Well, anyway. Jackson Whistle was in goals for the Giants. 31 saves from 33 shots. And Irvin Mustakov's 20 saves from 25 shots. The scratch was Jeff Mason, and the referee for the whole weekend was Tom Darnell. On Sunday, we got the second game. Well, it was the Sheffield Steelers who took the lead and doubled it. Luke Ferreira with the opening goal, and Matteo Wah with a second, which I think we're going to have to talk about in a few minutes. Colin Shields on the power play pulled it to 2-1, and Blair Riley levelled it up 2-2 in the second period. Then David Rutherford on the power play also. That's his third power play goal of the weekend. He made it 3-2. So from 2-0 down to 3-2 up on the Sunday. Levi Nelson brought it back to 3-3. Before Steve Saviano stepped up with two goals in the third period. Higos got one back on a 6-on-4 for the Sheffield Steelers with Stephen Murphy pulled. But they couldn't find a way to equalise. Gosh, the stats and the goalies, as I said, Stephen Murphy in goals for the Giants, 36 saves from 40 shots, and Irvin Mustakov's 21 saves from 26 shots, and Jeff Mason, once again, was the healthy scratch. What a weekend. Davey, I'll start with yourself, and we'll be speaking to Steve Saviano in a moment, but I started off by asking about those first 20 minutes of that first game, because they really did set the tone.
Yeah, we speak every week at the end of the show about what's going to happen at the weekend, and it's no secret that I hate that part of the show because you come out with all the cliches of the bits that you want to do. You want to play simple, you want to stick to the system, you want to come out on the front foot and take the game to the opposition. And that's what we did. And, you know, in that first period, there was some really, really good individual performances, none more so than Chris Higgins, who seemed to be involved in absolutely everything, getting working in down low in the Steelers. And, you know, Paul Thompson talked about the Steelers running around in their own zone and being stressed and all this sort of things. The Steelers, you know, have been lauded over the last number of weeks, and in their own commentary, you know, the Johnny Fernley or whatever, I think it's Fernley you call the guy,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Jonathan Fernley.
Talks about the European style of hockey that the Steelers have been playing this season. You know, I've really only seen the Steelers against the Giants, albeit I think that's about seven times now we've played them. They didn't play their European style of hockey. They came with that in North American, hard forecheck, physicality, yeah, right from the get-go, and it wasn't their game, and the Giants stuck rigidly to what we've been doing and playing our way and coming with speed and being relentless, and it paid dividends. And, you know, even on the penalty kill, the Steelers really sat off us, and there was penalty kill or power plays for us over the weekend where we controlled the puck within the Sheffield zone for basically the whole of power play. We weren't having to chase it 200 feet down the ice. We were getting attrition on their D-man. They weren't able to get changes, and we were getting lots of shots on. And, you know, Higgy pulled a lot of strings. We got shots away. Rudy obviously coming up with two goals on the power play on the Saturday night, another one on the Sunday night. Fantastic over the weekend. Power play looked a lot sharper, a little bit to do with the way Sheffield set up their penalty kill. But, you know, we came out on that front foot, as I've already said, and you put pressure on them. And once you get a goal or two goals behind Sheffield, as their coach said, stress, panic, they changed from what they were doing, and they were chasing the game. Once we were chasing the game, we played very well at just picking off opportunities and getting the puck behind Mustakas whenever we got the chance.
Says, you know, that what I thought from watching both games was the fact that the Giants' passing was more fluent. There was a lot more movement going on with the Giants, and as Davey says, you know, especially on the special teams, you know, we were able to just move around them. They were sitting deep, and they weren't really getting at us.
Paddy, I thought on Saturday's performance, I mean, obviously we got off to a brilliant start, but, you know, for me, it all started with, it was a total team performance. When the guys, you know, when Sheffield got the puck in the first period, you could see that all the wingers were coming back and covering their man. The defensive side of things for us was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, because everybody was covering their own position, picking up their man when they got a chance, going deep into the corners. The guys were dropping back. And, you know, it was just absolutely fantastic. Scoring four goals on the road and getting off the start like we did on Saturday night was you couldn't have, it could not have went any better. Derek Walzer, you know, he basically was very complimentary with regards to what the Steelers brought to the table. And I was listening to his interview, the brilliant interview you did with him on Sunday night after the game as well, you know, and you can hear Boomerang Corner giving it stacks in behind you. But I just thought on Saturday night we were at stages I thought we were unplayable. I thought we were that good. And, you know, you guys have already touched on the goal scores. And but for me, I thought Jim van der Meer was brilliant on Saturday night and Sunday night. You've got guy he picked up. Was it three assists he got on Saturday night, Davey?
Who's that?
Jim van der Meer.
Oh, no, I've got the thing. He did get three assists.
I think he got
did.
Three helpers.
Jim. Yes, three helpers on Saturday, yep.
You know, he was brilliant. And, you know, I text Davey after the game yesterday. It was just the wee things he was doing that you know, I sort of pick up on, because I sort of learned from a guy, Joe McCulloch, and he always told me, you know, you always take a whack at somebody when you get your chance, and you know what, you're not going to, you know, look for a two-minute penalty from it. But every time after, you know, the whistle had just gone, Jimbo was having a wee whack at the guys, the Steelers, and just let them know, here, by the way, boys, you know, I'm here tonight, and if you just want to have a go at me, come on ahead.
I think after that second goal, your little Quinnell goal, the Giants really had their tails up. You could see that there was a real confidence, a real, dare I say, arrogance, a real, you know, they wanted to get at the game. They knew they could get at the game. They knew already, like two goals into the weekend, that they already knew how they were going to get past Sheffield.
I think you're right, Pat. And again, that I mean, because you're scoring, you know, you feel confident when you start putting the puck behind Mustakas and getting those four goals. So, I mean, within, I think it was in 12 minutes, from the seventh minute onwards, 12 minutes for those first four goals in the first period, and then getting the fifth and going 5-0 up in Sheffield. And you knew that they were going to come at you in the third period. I thought they did very well, but, you know, they got a goal. They got a goal just towards the end of the second, and then they obviously got their second in the third period. And that's the only you know, the period itself of the Saturday that I think Derek Walls will probably be disappointed from, because he always talks about going 20 minutes at a time and trying to pick up, literally try and win every period. So I think if anything, he's probably disappointed they didn't win that period on Saturday, and or actually they lost it. But overall, it was a total team performance. If you listen back to the, I don't know if you're going to let, Gaby will probably watch it for the stats this week, but if you listen back to the commentary, whoever was doing with Jonathan Fernley on Saturday night, I'm not too sure who it was.
It was Mike O'Connor, I think.
No, it was Mike on Sunday.
Oh, was it Mike on Sunday?
No, it was Ron Shudder on Sunday.
Or Shudder on Sunday, was it?
Whoever it was, I'm not too sure it was, but he came off with a statement that, and you know, we're 4-0 up, and he said, you know, I don't like the way Jack's muscles playing at the minute. You know, he's not scored in the Shudder. You would have understood that if he's 4-0 down. They haven't scored. I'm sitting going, what game are you watching here?
Stephen Dyes, that is.
You know, I just thought, you know, Jackson, yeah, you know, he's usually scored a Shudder, and I can't remember a shot where they get past him in the first period. Did they score? No, I don't think they did. He had two batters.
Well, let's just like filter this into Sunday's game. Obviously, you know, you knew we were going to get a reaction from the Sheffield Steelers, Davey, and, you know, with a goal from Luke Ferrara and a goal from Matteo Wah, they get that 2-0 lead. But the Giants have to show real character, and they fight back to make it 3-2.
Yeah, it was a funny old start to the game, because the Giants actually played well in that first sort of 5 minutes. Obviously, the Steelers came with a lot of energy out of the gate, and they had their fans, you know, energized again, because they knew that their team was going to have to come with a big reaction, and they did. And yeah, they got that first goal. The Giants just couldn't get the puck cleared out of the zone. A bit of an unfortunate one. Hagos does well in behind the net to block the shot from Forney getting out of the zone, and Ferrara standing, you know, that old net front coverage again. Ferrara's got a bit of freedom in the slot there, and he managed to take it on the backhand, get on this forehand, and get the shot past Murph, who's been beat by it. But, you know, Stephen Murphy, I'll come to that right now. We'll probably come back to it later. Was incredible in nets under a lot of pressure on Sunday night.
Outstanding.
You know, for me, I had to switch the game off right on the whistle at other things that I was getting shouted at to do. And so I didn't see the man of the match presentations. And a text that says about 15 minutes after went, who got man of the match? For me, Stephen Murphy, all day long. Taking nothing away from Saviano's performance or anyone else's performance. I just thought Stephen Murphy carried us that when he gave us the opportunity to win on Sunday night, and the boys did really well to come back. But yeah, as you say, first goal from Ferrara, the second goal for me is not a goal in any hockey game anywhere else this weekend. You know, it just doesn't count. And we've done well then. The battle back shed has obviously come up with a power play goal. We've been pretty good, I think 4 from 9 on the power play over the weekend, you know, which is something that's been maligned this season, you know, the state of the power play. And as I say, it helped that Sheffield played us slightly differently than other clubs have maybe played our power play of late. And, you know, straight in the start of the second period, and Riley obviously comes up. And again, as Sis talks about on the Saturday night, it comes from an outside shot from Jim Vandermeer. We were putting pucks on from the points. All we did in Mustakov, we talked about the few times that we've played Sheffield and Mustakov this season, that he's prone to giving up the odd rebound. We crashed for those secondary scoring opportunities this time that we didn't in previous games. You know, we put a lot of shots from the outside on and went to the net looking those rebounds. And a few times over the weekend, we were first to them.
Coming back to that second goal, says from the Sheffield Steelers, the wild goal, as Davey mentioned, it's not a goal in his eyes, it's a goal in yours. There is clear contact with what looks like Stephen Murphy's head as they're coming through. Now, Quinnell is involved there, and he looks like he's on a push. But goalie interference?
100%. I honestly could not believe Tom Darnell did not call it. I tweeted it out straight away. I could not believe that there was not a penalty. You know, Murph's still laying on his backside in the back of the net. And in fairness, you know, they got the goal. You could have threw a blanket over our five guys for their second goal in front of that net. You know, they were all within stick reach of, they just couldn't get it on Matthew Wah. If one person you don't want the puck going to in that situation, it is Wah itself. And, you know, he's a real quality player, but what a reaction again, you know, going down that first period 2-0, coming back out there, you know, going back in the league with Rutherford, I think it was, giving the third goal to go ahead, his third power play goal of the weekend. It was brilliant. And then those two Saviano goals, you know, the guys worked so hard. Demarais little fake shot and thrown it across for the game winner, ultimately, for Saviano to tap into an empty net. But again, it was the reaction. It's the reaction. And that's been more and more frequent in the last 6-8 weeks for the Belfast Giants. And, you know, they went a goal down and you literally immediately they're looking to get back into it. It's like, I think it was Dundee scored a couple of the last game, though, last week, and they or not last week, sorry, the week before. And there was a reaction, all literally coming back and trying to get back into the game again. I thought we were 100% well worth the 4 points at the weekend. And if you'd asked me, if I'd been on the podcast last week, if you asked me, what would you accept? And I said, if we can split the points, I'd be over the moon. But 4 points, you've got to take your hats off to every single one of those guys out there. And Boomerang Corner. Because, you know, when you're playing the game and you hear, you know, it's like a home crowd. It was like a home game because all you could hear was Boomerang Corner. Even when they scored their first goal, Boomerang Corner started singing just to basically try and get the boys back into the game. And you see Adam Keith tweeting today about it, you know, after seeing Mike Quinnell, David Rutherford, you know, all these guys really appreciating the time and money spent by the fans to head over to the Sheffield this weekend. Absolutely sensational.
It was, I only made it over to Sunday's game and I stood in the upper block next to a long-time Belfast Giants fan. I don't know what he does now. But and we were both remarking at how both hilarious and how noisy and how fantastic the Boomerang Corner guys were. They owned Sheffield Arena that night. And by all accounts, they owned it the night before as well, because as you watch on the webcast, that's all you can hear. And some of the crack that was coming from was fantastic. Chanting, we buy our steel from China. I have to say, I was absolutely creased listening to them, Davey. But it's, I saw you got in contact with likes of Mark Brooks and all afterwards to say, you know, it's vindication for the decision to develop Boomerang Corner.
Yeah, just as I was saying in our little group message with Brooks, see, I remember sitting in my broken down camper van in a pub car park. Oh, it must be 3 or 4 years ago now. Would it be as much as that?
Easily.
And Brooksy sending me or phoning me, going, "Davey, I've got this idea. I'm going to keep a wee on reserve section up above, you know, below the big screen. What do you think? Do you think it would work? Will you help out? Will AVFTB help out and, you know, try and push it forward?" All we did was send a few tweets out, you know, every week trying to keep it going. It was all Brooksy's baby, and I can't believe how well it's growing, and it's growing organically, I suppose, as you know, to use a technical term. It's you know, the likes of Liam and Joel and all those boys that make it happen week in, night. We were those soldiers back in the day, Paddy. It's a lot to do with the amount of electric soup you've got in you as well, and you know, away games add that spice as well. You know, I remember being in Sheffield the year Theo scored that wonderful goal, and we did have a great night that night as well. You know, and being on an away trip with a big group like that, and you know, we've got a couple of double headers still to go. The one in Cardiff's going to be very, very spicy come the end of the season. I'd say there's going to be a lot of people looking to spend a few quid and get down to that. But the Boomerang Corner project just worked, and calling it after Boomerang as well just gives it that little something special as well. You know, Stewie Boone no longer with us, and I think Colette, that's something to behold for, you know, for her as well, having her name linked with that forever and Boone's name linked with that. And it's just a really good thing, and I think it's probably envied a little around the league. Other people have tried it and maybe just haven't been quite as successful, but it takes the people. It's to do with the people. It's not to do with the club. All the club did was open a section and say, "We're not going to sell tickets there. Just come there and have some fun." And that's what Joel makes it. It makes it a fun night out. Seen him on the webcast dabbing. He nearly broke his neck off there. And he was sitting on the plane this morning hanging like a, you know, hanging like the
Fortnite's
washing and sounded like a shankle woman after 40 tabs, you know. So he had a great weekend. He's, as Coach said, he's the heartbeat of that corner. And, you know, long may that continue, because it's a real fillet for the boys on the road as well as at home.
It's a real catalyst. Like I know that not everybody who was sat in that corner would consider themselves as people who are sat in the away block at the weekend would consider themselves, you know, as part of inverted commas Boomerang Corner, what they deemed to be it or whatever. But the guys there were the catalyst, and the Giants and the wider Giants fans, the wider Teal Army were just fantastic. The noise that came from them, obviously spurred on by what they were seeing on the ice, obviously spurred on by the character shown by this Giants side. And against a team who were hot on our heels, trying to overtake us. If the Steelers had won those two games, they'd be ahead of us in the table, but they didn't, and we've put a bit of daylight past them because of the performance that was on the ice. Just a quick thing, just a look at the, because I want to come back to a couple of points from earlier, but a quick look at the at a couple of the three-word weekends that were brought up on Sunday night. Stephen Murray, Giants on fire. Glenn Dukakis, celebrate your victories. Mike with keeper lit. Daniel McDonald with Demarais back. Stuart Douglas, bring on Cardiff. And Michael Crawford, whoosh times 10. And it's that whoosh times 10 that I want to bring up. We've spoke about Stephen Murphy. And on Stephen Murphy, you know, in that third period on Sunday, I had the feeling that Paul Thompson had more or less put a bounty on his head, the amount of Steelers that were coming right into his crease. But let's look right down at the other end and at Mustakov's. Says, I stood next to you and did my best to do some co-commentary when we saw the Sheffield Steelers in the SSE there the other a few weeks ago. And Mustakov's was brilliant. But it seemed this time that the Giants were able to, because very few of the goals you would deem to be scrappy. They were all very well worked goals where Mustakov's was either just pulled right out of position. And how many times were the Giants able to put it in what was practically an empty net?
Yeah, like again, but it's great movement by the Giants over a whole weekend. You know, when you move your feet, you get rewarded. You go to the blue paint, you get rewarded. You know, how many goals that I think it was, the first goal on Saturday night to get us off to a great start. You know, it's basically high slot. Sheffield didn't close. They just gave the guys too much space. Chris Higgins took a whack at it. It wasn't a really good shot, but, you know, you get your shots on target, you have a chance like the puck going in the net. So I just thought that, you know, Mustakov's when he was in Belfast, Paddy, you know, that you were there the Saturday night and then Jason Bowen called the game on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. He was unbelievable. I mean, I honestly thought it was the best goalkeeping display I've seen at the SSA Arena in a long, long time. And, you know, on both nights, he was just brilliant. But we made him look average. We've talked about it on the podcast over the last while. We've made goalies look like they're NHL standard. Didn't make him look NHL standard on Saturday or Sunday night.
Davion, do you? I stood next to, obviously, I had Neil Russell on one side at the game, and the other side that stood next to me was Rob McGregor, the Elite League media guru and former netminder. And we were chatting about Irvin Mustakovson quite a few times, and he agreed quite a few times there are shots that going in that you think should just be right in his breadbasket and he should just swallow them up. But he tends to give off quite a few rebounds.
Just what we were talking about sort of during the game section there, Paddy, we were saying, you know, we put a lot more rubber on him. I wouldn't say we put a lot more rubber on him. We followed in a lot more than we did in the previous games, and we were rewarded for that. I would obviously buy to the Rob's knowledge on that. You know, he'd be somebody I would look up to with regards to if I ever had a goaltending question. He's very, very articulate at that, and he knows his onions when it comes to goaltending, so I'll take that on board from him. You know, I think that, yes, Mustakov didn't have the best weekend, but you look at the shot count, we didn't put an awful lot of rubber on him. So that would back up what you're saying there. You know, what we did put on him, we crashed in, and, you know, he needs help from the defense as well. You look at the goal Quinnell scored. Quinnell chips the puck in from outside the blue line, goes in and goes on his own forecheck. Blair Riley, the responsible third man high, keeps the puck in the zone. Fitzgerald is more interested in getting a cheap shot at Quinnell, puts him on his backside in the blue paint, and then goes puck hunting. You know, and what Tomo was saying, you know, we were running around and left Quinnell just on his own in the slot, and the puck comes across and it says, thanks very much. So I think as much as Mustakov's give off rebounds, on a different day, you look at the other end of the ice when Murph was giving up rebounds, the D was there to close it down and get it away. There was times, you know, that maybe the Sheffield Steelers just didn't back their goaltender up maybe as much as he needed.
Sizz mentioned it earlier on there, but I'm going to put in here that interview that I did with Derek Walser as soon as he came off the ice on Sunday's game. Join after the win of the Sheffield Steelers straight off the ice by Coach Derek Walser. Coach, 4-point weekend here in Sheffield. You've had a bit of a hoodoo these last couple of seasons, but this weekend you've blown it out of the water.
Yeah, you know, I thought they were better than us in some areas tonight. Their power play got unlucky. We scored in ours. I thought 5-on-5, we were pretty even throughout after the first 10 minutes. They're a good hockey team. Came right down to the end again. Like I said, there was never any point in this game we thought the game was over or we were in trouble. We just had to survive that first 10 minutes, which we did, and once he got back on track, you know, we felt pretty confident.
Two goals down to three goals up. The Seven Steelers are always in there. They fought back, but showing great character to get those and hold out to the end.
That's why they're champs last 2 years. You know, we got lucky. I thought they deserved at least a point tonight. I thought it was going to go to overtime, and then, you know, I'm just happy and proud of the boys. And the fan support we got tonight, it really helped put us over the top. Because, you know, we did struggle here. The guys, they believed in us. They were so loud. It was great to have them here.
And a word for your two netminders this weekend, both coming up brilliantly.
I told you, it's the strength of our team. Having one goalie focus in one night. And Murph was fabulous tonight. He didn't deserve to give up four, but he was rock solid.
And what does this mean in the title race to you?
Nothing. We're not there yet. We still got 15 games to go. It's just a confidence builder. It puts us in a good situation. We got a lot of hockey left. But right now, let's go eat, relax, maybe have a beer or two, and get ready for Cardiff on Wednesday.
Great weekend, Coach. Well done.
Thank you very much.
The highlights of the game are available from Sheffield Steelers TV. Just a quick note to you both, a quick comment from you both, lads, about the weekend as a whole. Obviously, you know, you heard there from Derek Walser, you know, 15 games to go. Nothing's been won yet. There's a lot of hockey to be played, but that was a big weekend. My first question, Davey, is were you surprised?
Pleasantly surprised. I said on the podcast last week, and Sizz has already said tonight, I said at the end last week, I would be happy with a split. But I would agree wholeheartedly with Derek Walser, 15 games to go. And we had it with Hitchie earlier on, where he was lamenting that that's the Steelers done. I'm going, Hitchie, you're far from done. You have 17 games left. It's a third of the season. You know, it's still a long, long way to go. A lot of good teams have to play each other here, and you can't take wins for granted. You know, we have a game. We'll look no further than Bray Head, but we can as a podcast because we're not playing. You know, we'll look on to Edinburgh on Sunday night, and you can't take those as gimmies. Edinburgh are a team that aren't going well, but you have to go and be professional about it. And the professionalism that we took in the Sheffield has to go in the Brayhead and then onwards the Edinburgh. And then, you know, I'm forgetting about the cup game at the minute, obviously. But, you know, over the course of a weekend, four well-deserved points. I think that's seven games for the Steelers now, 14 points available. I think that's 7 points each team have taken. If you can split against the Steelers, if you can split against Cardiff, and then go on and take better in the mini series is against all the other teams, you're going to be right up there at the end of the season. I think Sizz will come up with how many points he thinks it's going to take to win this league. But we are slightly better placed than what we were last season. We only missed out by a whisker last season. The team has hit its straps at the right time. And probably one thing, just to come back on something Simon said as well, since the start of December, we have rebounded well whenever, and he's absolutely right in what he's saying, it happened at the weekend. We've rebounded well when we've gone a goal behind or we've conceded a goal. We'll come back with, you know, rebound shifts and 5 minutes of rebound play where we take the play to, whereas earlier in the season, we're maybe conceding a goal and we're going in their shells and we're getting away from the system that we're supposed to be doing. We believe, I say we, the team believes in what they've built so far, and it's been that belief as a unit that has got them to where it is. Maybe when there was detractors and there was knockers against them in late September and early October, and maybe even through the end of November when things weren't going well, people were asked, and, you know, people were worried about their jobs. And, you know, we've talked on the podcast as well about should he stay, should he go, blah, 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 should we bring people in, what do we think of the goaltending? But for me, this has been built on excellent goaltending over the last 8 weeks, 10 weeks. And yeah, surprised, but pleasantly surprised. Not completely surprised, because we've seen over the last number of weeks what this team has about it. And there is a great belief within, I believe in this team, and I really think that the team, more importantly, believes in itself.
Here, here. Says the, as Davey mentioned there, you know, we've 15 games left. 9 of those games are at home, 2 against Cardiff, 2 against Nottingham, 1 against Sheffield, Coventry, Manchester, Fife and Dundee. And we've 6 on the road, 2 against Cardiff right at the end of the season. Brayhead and Edinburgh we see this weekend, and we've got Fife and Nottingham. What do you think? 15 games to go. What do you think?
I was speaking to Steve Thornton, and he's had a couple of interviews on the webcast over the last couple of months. And Steve said from day one of the start of the season, he reckons 70 points has a real chance of winning the league this year. Now, Davey will probably know exact. I think we've 34 points from 40 in the start of December. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible. That is, I mean, again, I was, for one, you know, I was basically looking at the start of November, you're sitting going, I think, you know, I think a change or an addition to the lineup would be very, very helpful. And I'm glad that Derek Walzer doesn't listen to the podcast. you've got these guys that, you know, I think that if you'd asked, James Demarais worth his weight in gold back in November, I don't think anybody would, and especially James Demarais, he would say the same thing. You know, he wasn't reaching the heights that he reached last season for his own performances. And then you've got the likes of Mike Forney, who had a really good start to the season, and he's sort of tailed off. He got a brilliant goal there last week by the SSC Arena, and then, you know, he's sort of hoping that's going to push him on. He picked up a couple of helpers at the weekend, but, you know, he's playing on the line with Chris Higgins and Blair Riley, and those two guys have been absolutely brilliant. And, you know, they're probably overshadowed Mike Forney over the last 5-6 weeks, but I just think that, you know, that if you look at the overall situation of where we are now, I mean, the pressure's been on the Cardiff Devils for a long time now. I mean, there was 12, maybe even 13 points clear at the start of December. You know, their fans were basically saying, oh, this is a gift, and all we got to do is turn up. And, you know, if you look at their home form over the last month, I think Coventry have beat them, we've beat them at home, Sheffield have beat them, Nottingham beat them. You know, so it's there for the taking. Is this league over? Has Cardiff won it? Absolutely not. Are the Belfast Giants think they've won it? 100% not. The Sheffield Steelers out of it? In my opinion, nowhere near out of it. They have a big, big part to play in this league. I think it's maybe a little trip too far for the Nottingham Panthers, but I wouldn't rule them out at this stage, because you've already mentioned, we've got to play them, Sheffield have got to play them, Cardiff have got to play them. So it's a long, long way from over.
Absolutely, we're in for one hell of a title race. Well, that's January done and dusted. Like I say, 7 wins from 9 games in the league, 1 loss in regulation, and some fantastic all-round performances. So, choosing the nominees for to follow Alex Foster as the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month, sponsored by Phonacab, has been difficult. However, your 4 players up for the popular vote are the goalie tandem of Stephen Murphy and Jackson Whistle, James Demarais, Chris Higgins, and Ryan Martinelli. The poll's now opened on A View from the Bridge Twitter site at AVFTB, linked through our Facebook page also, or just log on to twitter.com/AVFTB and cast your vote. The poll end on Thursday night at 9 p.m. and the winning player will receive the award at the next home game. Once again, thanks to Phonacab for all their support with this award. Gentlemen, from those 4, that's Demarais, Higgins, Martinelli, and the goalie tandem. Says, I'll start with you first. Who does your vote go to?
God, that's a tough one. It really is.
It's been tough to actually choose the 4 nominees, because we've seen so many well-rounded performances. Like, I would even put Garside in there. I think Garside's been brilliant. I would have put Matteau in there. I think he's been brilliant. But it's very difficult. Like, the votes that came in were right across the board, so it's been difficult to choose these 4. But yeah, they're the 4 we came up with.
I'll go while Ciz is having a think about it there, and he'll back me up on this. I texted him last night when we were talking about the player of the month, and we've all got our little side groups about Garce as well. You know, Garce is very unlucky not to be nominated this month. For me, he's been our best D-man all season long, and I think this would have been 3 or 4 months in a row, and it would have been a well-deserved nomination. I think, if I'm honest about Martinelli, he's had an incredible weekend. He was very good the weekend before. I don't think he's been brilliant in comparison to Desi and Higgy in the month. So for me, he wouldn't be higher up. But the goalie tandem for me is what is giving us a chance to win night in, night out. And the freshness of Murphy coming in on the second night, the buzz of Jackson Whistle on the first night, usually in a 2-game series that we play over the weekend, it remains to be seen who's going to play on Wednesday night in Cardiff, obviously starting. But I just think the freshness and the competitive nature of those two, I think with so far this season, something like 914, Murphy's upped his numbers to like 917. Murphy, over almost 400 games for this club, is averaging 0.915 save percentage. And this season he's 0.917. So he's better stats than he's ever had over 400 games. So, you know, for me, they are the backbone. They are what gives us an opportunity to win night in, night out. I thought they should have won last month. I'm voting for them this month. I think they've been sensational, and they're the bedrock of this championship bid.
Simon?
Still don't know. And, you know, I totally understand where Davey's coming from, and I think that both of them have been brilliant, especially since the start of December. You know, I think that both of them really have worked well. You know, I'm privileged because I get to watch them in training, and you can see how hard they work in training. You know, Murph has been around a long, long time now, and I think it's his eighth season with us. He's been brilliant. And, you know, you've got Jackson Whistle coming in here who is only 21 years of age. We are in a very, very privileged position to have such two number one goalies. That's exactly. And everybody said, they were talking last night on the webcast, is he a number one or is he a 1A or is he number one and number two or a backup? Do you know what? We don't have a backup. We've got two guys there who you would be very confident of putting them in the net against any team in this league. And I think that's a very, very privileged position. With regards to the player of the month, I think Desi, his four-goal performance last week, his five-goal performance last weekend, and then four assists last night. I think, again, he hasn't done it every single game. He's definitely getting better. And then you've got Chris Higgins, who Davey's already touched on, you know, earlier in the podcast. He's been absolutely magic. But from the still point of the backbone, and literally, you know, giving the guys a chance to win every single night, and because it's together, yeah, I think it's the goalies for me.
Okay, well, then I'd say I agree with you. My vote would go for the goalies right now. I think Desi's been playing brilliantly. I think Higgy on the line with Forney and Riley, you know, it's picking out Higgy. I think he's been putting in the real highlight reel goals, but that line as a whole has been phenomenal. But likewise, I thought that Desi's playing well with Shields and with Saviano. Ryan Martinelli, I know you were what you're saying, Davey, but maybe at the start of the month, I didn't think much of him in that first opening Sheffield games, but I thought he was playing into himself. And obviously, you know, he's made enough of an impression to get a bit of a, we got quite a few tweets in of people backing Martinelli, but no,
I'm going to come across you on that there, Paddy, so to speak. maybe not. Yeah. I'll do that again.
Come on.
Says loves that. And I said about it earlier, and you know, sometimes we can be guilty of, you know, saying what we've just seen, and Martinelli had a fantastic weekend. Jim Vandermeer has also been excellent, and the whole decor has been really good. If you look at the plus minuses, Vandermeer and Quinnell have been playing together, and their numbers over the last 2-3 weekends have been absolutely sensational. And we've talked about Garth Walser's been superb at the back end. Nickerson has just gone about his work nice and calmly, not getting involved in anything. Mm-hmm. There was times at the weekend where obviously you would want, if you were on the other foot, you'd want your team to be trying to spark things. Debbie Ian, Fitzgerald, they were all chirping at him, trying to get him to go, and he was just disciplined. He knows his role is there to support Derek Walser, and he's doing it really well. You know, you could go through our whole roster almost in January, and you could make an argument for every single one of them, and that comes from getting 34 points out of 40. You could make arguments for every. Sheds again, nominated 2 months in a row, could well have been nominated again. He's came up with goals. He's came up with assists. Saviano has got so much speed. He seems to have really come into himself. And Desi, I didn't really speak about Desi in that first bit, and that's doing him a disservice. Desi has that signature move where he gets the outside right shoulder of the D-man and he goes around him and gets the body in front. And we came up with a couple of goals from that play. He's got speed to burn as well. No, people can look at the age of players, and that's what we're guilty of. And elite prospects, the first thing we do, and you know, the Giants have the oldest team. Age is just a number, especially when a team's playing with confidence, I guess. I'm not going to change my mind. I'm still voting for the goalies, but just wanted to come back because I think it was maybe a bit, sounded a bit harsh on Martinelli. Not you go back to the first podcast this season, I'm a massive fan of this big guy. The way he played in Cardiff that first night, blocking shots, those massive big feet of his, he's always in shooting lanes. And of late, he's getting back to that early season form that he's in. He came in and he was lights out for the first 6-8 weeks. He maybe tailed off a wee bit, but he's really, really back in form now. And we need a strong Ryan Martinelli going forward. I think there was a time at the weekend there where he was either really disciplined or he just didn't want to get involved. There was a real bit of rough stuff in and around our own crease, and he stayed really disciplined. Didn't take a 2-minute minor, which is, you know, what the Sheffield Steelers were trying to do, trying to get on the power play, trying to get their way back in the game. Big man's got a bit about him, but for me, the goalies.
That's fine. You just put something in my head with regards to Matt Nickerson and said quietly going about his business. There's a moment in the first period where Levi Nelson goes for elbowing, and there's a bit of I'm looking at Nickerson going, oh, and obviously the blood's flowing and the red mist comes down, and I'm shouting, do him, get him. Nickerson, hands down, doesn't get involved because he sees that we're two goals down and we're about to get a power play. Calm, let Nelson go to the box, and Shields ends up scoring our first goal. You know, and that's the sort of control. You know, you can point your finger and say he needs to be more physical, but that was considered controlled, and it led us getting back into the game. But yes, coming back to it, yes, your four nominees are Demaree, Higgins, Martinelli, and the goalie tandem at AVFTB on Twitter or on our Facebook page, and you've got until Thursday night at 9 p.m. to choose your winning player. On to our interview. We mentioned him earlier on. He scored two goals on Sunday night, including the game-winning goal. So we got the chat with Steve Saviano, and I opened up by asking him, you know, how much he thought those first 20 minutes of Saturday's game set the tone for the weekend.
Yeah, it did. It was an intense weekend. We knew it going in. It was going to be action-packed. It was going to be fun. They had a lot of fans there. We had a lot of fans there. It was a playoff atmosphere, and we knew that going in, and we just kind of went out and just gave it our all. And we knew if we did that, we'd have a good chance of winning. And like you said, that first 20 minutes, we came out well, and we were up 4-0 at one point in the first. It was unbelievable. We didn't expect that, obviously, but you just kind of go with it. You kind of get a little nervous with that sometimes because it can go the other way on you pretty quickly, but we stuck to it and did well.
And then in that game on Sunday, you know, we go two goals down, we bring it back to 3-2, and then the Steelers keep coming at us, but then you pop up with two goals, including the game-winning goal.
Yeah, it was, when we were down 2-0, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little nervous. In that building, they can sometimes go on a run, and it happened to us twice already in the year. It was 5-1, I believe, twice. So we were down, but we didn't give up, and I mean, we really battled it. We really stuck in it. Colin Shields got a nice goal on the power play for us, and then Blair Riley, the second goal, to tie it up. And they went up. We tied it. It was back and forth, and that's what. And then we were fortunate to get the fourth and fifth one pretty quickly there in the third, which sealed it for us.
That line, you know, with you, Desmarais, Shields, you seem to be clicking together really well.
Yeah, it's been great. I think. We all kind of got off to a slower start. I know Sheds and Dez did, and myself included, and we kind of just, they put us together a couple of months ago, and we kind of clicked right away. So it's been good. I really like playing with them. They're both two righties. They both score goals, so it's fun for me to play with because I like to mostly set up, but they move the puck well. It's been good so far.
How difficult do you think it is for a coach and for you as a player when you're trying to find that chemistry with a line mate? You say, you know, you came together eventually and then it started to click. Is it? Do you think it's difficult to find that chemistry with a team?
It can be. I think when you have as many good players as we do, it makes it easier. It's just a question of just moving to one or two guys in and out. That's kind of what happened this year. I mean, Shields and I played together almost all year. We started the year together and then we split up a little bit, but it was more of just me finding my game in this league, and I think him just finding his confidence. Like, he's such a great player. He has been all his whole career here. So it was one of those things for us. And then with Dez, he just got off to a slower start. And I think, I don't know why that was. And then he came with us, and I just felt like it was kind of a change. I know he played with Rutherford a lot last year at the end of the year and then start this year. Maybe it was just a change for him that helped him just kind of reset things and just come back. And yeah, I mean, chemistry is a hard thing to find, but like I said, we have a lot of good players, and I feel like our lines can be moved around so much and still do pretty well. So
the atmosphere, the confidence from you guys, what you showed on the ice and after the game, you know, you really seem to be hitting your stride at the minute.
Yeah, we do. And actually, I was really surprised how many fans we had there this weekend. I didn't expect that at all. We came out, and we were walking out there right there when we walked out. It was pretty cool, and that helps us. I mean, that gave us a lot. And, of course, going up 4-0 after the first period there was, I know, it just, we knew we could play with that team. And yes, they beat us a couple more times than we beat them so far this year, but we knew going in there that we play our game. We've been on a roll lately, and now we just got to it doesn't stop. We have a huge game against Cardiff on Wednesday. So
yeah, you yourself, you know, coming through this season, you're well versed in European game. You know, how does the style of this league compare and differ from your time, you know, Bolzano, Sweden, Finland?
It's been different mainly because it's mostly weekend games here. You have a whole week to prepare. It's more practice here. I'm used to playing at least 3 games a week over my career in Europe, and it's been a little bit more it's more games, but less games at the same time because we only play on the weekends. But it's been good. I really enjoyed the transition. It takes a little while for me to get going in the league, and kind of did this year as well. Just getting adjusted to the travel and what's going on, just being comfortable. I've always struggled with that in my career, and I'm starting to get comfortable now, and I'm happy here, and I'm happy with my teammates, so it makes everything easier once you just get settled in. This adjustment's been good. It hasn't been too hard, but it's been good, that's for sure.
Of course, when you came over, also coming over from Bolzano, was Alex Foster. How big was that to have a familiar face come into the side at the same time?
Yeah, it made things easier for sure. Alex and I have become good friends over the last year and a half, 2 years. It's been a lot of fun. Our wives are friends. We both have young boys, so it's been it made everything better for sure.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned earlier on, on Wednesday night, Cardiff Devils in the first leg of the semi-final of the Challenge Cup, and then this weekend another road trip to Scotland. Every game from here on is a big game.
It is. That's what has been an adjustment this year for me. The regular season is so important. Usually, you can just end up fourth place in the regular season, and you still have a chance to win it all. You have to win first place in the regular season to win it all here. So it's a big, difference. Every game's important, like you said, but it's just crazy to me that game number 10 of the year is just as important as game number 40. You know, it's just the way it is, and every game's important. Like the Challenge Cup is obviously we're in the semis now, and that makes everything more important there. But we're ready for that one, and then this weekend we can't really look past Wednesday, but it's important 4 points this weekend, so it doesn't end.
is it difficult to get your head around the sort of, like, obviously we're influenced by football a lot and that sort of league aspect, the cup aspect. It must be strange coming into that sort of atmosphere in the league.
Oh, it's 100% strange. That's been probably the hardest adjustment for sure, is just getting used to that. And you can't let it down ever, and that's usually like in a November game, you can kind of almost just like, you don't get through it, but you can just work hard. Hopefully it works out. And if it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. But in this league, it can be the end of the world because two to six points is probably going to come down to this year for the championship. So it is tough to wrap your head around, but in a way I like it. It always keeps you on your toes. It keeps you ready. You can always be focused. It's not the worst thing. And it creates competitive hockey. So it's good for the fans.
And just one last question, Steve. You mentioned it earlier on in regards to the travelling support that you saw on at the weekend in Sheffield. Belfast Giants fans, because obviously you having to fly over and the likes and the cost behind it, don't travel in big numbers as much. But when they do, you guys got to see at the weekend there exactly how much noise they can actually make.
Oh yeah, to be surprising. They show up everywhere we go. It doesn't matter. I know it's maybe not as many as it was in Sheffield, but it's always quite a bit. It's pretty impressive to me, especially when we're doing a long travel day and we get to play, and they're traveling to travel. Like, they're just doing it. It's awesome. It's great support. And that's one part I have loved about European hockey, the passionate fans over here. And they bring the soccer atmosphere, which I feel like soccer fans are incredible. So it's been, that's one part I love about Europe for sure, is the fans.
Thanks to Steve. Let's go around the league, boys. We'll start off, as you normally do, with Dops. But, of course, we're here earlier this week, so we really haven't got the information on Dops. And I've had a very quick scout through the game sheets, and there doesn't appear to be anything automatically pending. But Dops will no doubt have a PR later on Tuesday if there's anything to be cited. I can't see anything in particular.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paddy, I don't know if you've seen it from where you were sitting. I think that Colton Freder, if he doesn't get cited, he should be cited, in my opinion. He cross-checked Adam Keefe in the head. I think it was the first period, David, wasn't it?
I can't remember exactly when it was, Sis, to be honest with you. I know we were on the WhatsApp to each other straight away saying the same thing. I thought it was a bit naughty of him, but I don't think the Giants will cite him, and it'll not be automatic by Dops. So I don't think that the Giants will spin that wheel. It's proved a little fruitless and obviously not injured, thankfully, but it was a bit naughty.
It was a blatant check to the head. I think it was in the first period. For me,
I'll do an I'm the ref on it, says.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. That's well, happy.
Keep an eye on AVFTB on Twitter and TV will put up a I'm the ref on that hit. However, what we can quickly return to is last week's talking point on Erik Nielsen, because after much deliberation, the Elite League finally issued the results of what described as a full and frank investigation into the incident at Fife, and the teams were sanctioned as such. Erik Nielsen of the Manchester Storm received a 3-game ban for his involvement in the incident. Nielsen had already served one game of suspension during the game against the Capitals, and therefore he would only miss the following games, which were just gone at the weekend against the Stars and the Caps. He also received a further 6-game suspended sentence, which will take effect if he gets involved in a similar incident during the remaining games of this season or any of the games next season, should he stay in the league. The Storm also received a £5,000 fine for failing to control their players and have been warned for their future conduct. However, that fine suspended pending no further incidents during the remaining games of this season or next season. The Fife Flyers, well, they received a £5,000 fine for failing to control their fans and have been warned for their future conduct. This fine is also suspended pending no further incidents during the remaining games of this season or into the next. The Elite League have also required the Fife Flyers to increase security at their home games in the vicinity of the away bench to remove the possibility of an incident similar to this happening again. The Fife Flyers will be required to install plexiglass between the fans and the away bench for the start of next season. Says you weren't with us last week when we were talking about it. Your take on this and these subsequent penalties that were handed out?
My take on it is I actually felt sorry for Erik Nielsen. I don't think he should have been put in that position. You know, there's all good and well having a bit of banter between fans and players, but where that, I mean, I've played at Fife before. You know, they can get very boisterous. When I was coaching Dundalk against Fife in the Celtic League back in, I think it was 2007, you know, there was an incident with a fan, and he was given one of our players stacks. And that player didn't react, but I did. and you know, I was standing on the bench, and I asked him, "Come on down, then, mate." You know, and the bottom line is the players. You know, everybody keeps on talking about the you know, there needs to be protection there for the fans. Let me tell you something: there needs to be protection for the players. The players, without the players, there's no game. And Erik Nielsen, I'll get back to with regards to the way he reacted in a second, but you know, he needs protection as well. He should not have been put in that position. You know, with regards to you know, him reacting and you know, having a go at the guy who allegedly threw the beer around him first. Nielsen, for me, should not. You know, he basically, when I seen him, the pictures of him, I haven't seen a video of it, but when I seen the pictures of him, he's facing your man, and then the beer goes over him. So, Erik Nielsen has been very, very, very lucky to only get a 3-game ban with a 6-game suspension, you know, for a similar incident. I mean, what's the chance of that going to happen for the rest of this year or next year? Absolutely zero. But the player itself, I do genuinely feel sorry for him because he's been put in that position due to the lack of security from Fife Flyers organisation, the lack of plexiglass there. If there's plexiglass there, I'm not saying that it wouldn't have happened, but the likelihood is it would have had a separation between him and that fan, and the likelihood is it would not have happened. So you're putting the player in a very difficult position, but he should not have reacted. And to react that way, to get involved with a fan who pays his money to come in, whether he's given, you know, the player pelters or not, that's totally irrelevant. He should not have reacted, and he should have been, to be honest, it should have been at least a 10-game ban.
David?
I think I pretty much covered what Simon said in last week's show, that I felt sorry that Nielsen was put into that position by effectively the Fife Flyers and their lack of security around that. interesting. There's, you know, I haven't heard anything out of Fife as to are they sanctioning that fan for his behaviour, other than he got kicked out for an hour that night before he went back and crazily picked up the 50-50 award. that can only happen in the IHL, honestly. It's an unbelievable situation that could have happened. Should have just been a redraw when they found out his number. He's been booked out for assaulting a player, for want of a better term. Fife should have had that plexiglass in there. It shouldn't have to wait to the off-season. That should be something that the league just said, it has to go in as soon as practically possible. That can be worked on now. Why does that have to wait to the off season? Get that in now. Mitigate that can't happen again this season. Hopefully Nielsen, I don't know whether Manchester have to go. I'm not sure whether they go back to Fife or not.
They've got to back the 11th of February.
So next week. You know, he's going to have a bullseye on his back. No, next week's games in Manchester, mate. Let me just have a quick scroll because I have their. No, they don't have to go back to Fife this season. I think Manchester have got away okay because they've ended up. They've lost Nielsen for two games against Edinburgh and one against a struggling Stars team. So it hasn't affected them that much in terms of what could happen to the results. No team has been put out of pocket because all these fines are suspended. Much like all the social media fines are always suspended. If you do it again, you're going to get a fine. You know, sometimes fine hammer have to come down. Like that, I thought there wouldn't be fines because the league has no money, and that is what has turned out. Yeah, it's a fine on paper. Do it again, and we'll fine you, and we'll probably find a way of not fining you then. I thought there's Fife are lucky that there weren't going to points being deducted, but it all stems back to yes, Nielsen shouldn't have reacted, but he shouldn't have been put in that position. Fife should have been hammered much, much harder than they have been. I still remain to see what they're going to do with a fan. I feel sorry for Nielsen. I think the picture of him with the free Eric t-shirt was badly misjudged. That is walking that fine line of the social media policy there that, you know, tops have came down. I think they've been quite light on them. And to sort of make a slight mockery of that, I understand that he's been put in that position of fans probably handed him that t-shirt. And it's probably a bit of a laugh at the time. But when you look at it, when you stand back and look at that situation, it is treading a very, very fine line there. It's hard to put our friendship with coach aside here because, you know, it's his team, but you can't look at it like that. No. You know, you've just got to look at it, the facts. Nielsen was in the wrong. He's put in a very bad position by Fife. They should have been hammered. Manchester should have been hammered much, much harder than what everyone has came out of this quite well, in my opinion. Apart from the league.
Yeah.
The other thing is, lads, they only have to put plexiglass against the away team.
Yes.
Okay. What about the penalty box? The penalty box is even worse.
Wide open. Yep. Indeed, it is. Like, I have to agree with you both, and I think that both teams have got away very lightly on this. I think a much bigger example should have been made by the league of both. Like I say, you do have some sympathy to Eric Nielsen to one extent that, you know, regards to provocation, but you know, you just can't do it. Yeah, you get 6 games for pushing a referee, but you only get 3 games for punching a fan. No, nope, not for me. Not for me. I think they can consider themselves very, very lucky that a bullet was most certainly dodged with regards to Nielsen, and Fife can consider themselves even luckier that there wasn't a points deduction or something that would have led to, you know, a real example being made that this just cannot happen and you have to basically provide some form of protection. But anyway, it got a little bit worse for the Fife Flyers during the week. It's come out that David Turon, their defenseman, has left the club. The Czech defenseman joined the club in the summer after spells of Krakow in Poland and a half season with the Dundee Stars, with whom he made 38 appearances and picked up 16 points. But, you know, he's moved on. What surprised me, says, is that the Fife Flyers have an extra import, so they don't actually lose out. Apart from losing a damn good player.
Yeah, he's a really, really good player. I like him. I think he's been, you know, he was a good addition to their squad. I think he's there last season as well. So he's a big body and control the puck very well. But, you know, I'm actually surprised. They brought the guy Cameron in, didn't they? Guy Cameron in there last month. And he seemed to be a pretty good player too. But Fife always seemed to find a, you know, one or two players every season. And obviously, you know, same as Manchester last year. They came out with a number of crackers and you know, really helped their lineup. And again, this year they've done the same thing. So it'll be interesting to see how that Gardner conference ends up, because You know, I know that Brayhead are I think they're about 6 points clear from the second place in the Gardiner at the minute, and they've only, you know, Brayhead. I was looking at the stats the other day. They've only won one game against an Urquhart team this season. One game. I don't know. Hopefully, I mean, we beat them 5 times. Hopefully, go on beat them again. But it's it'll be interesting to see how it pans out for Fife. I have a soft spot for the Fife organization. I don't know why. It's just I've always liked going there, and you know, back in their late 80s, and I'm showing my bloody age here now, you know, but obviously that's some...
We already knew that, mate.
Dead on. We've had some real fantastic players up there, and you know, apart from the glass being put in the last 8-10 years, there's not a lot else has changed about that old barn, and you know, it definitely does need that security side of things set aside for the players, because... Again, there's been the protection of the players is absolutely paramount.
Right, well, I'm going to let you boys take a bit of a break as I go on my normal sort of results around the league monologue. It was a 4-point weekend for the Cardiff Devils, who finally pulled a performance out of the bag at home to the Nottingham Panthers, who seemed to have their number all season long at the Ice Arena Wales, but not on Saturday. A convincing 5-0 win before travelling to Fife for a tight 2-1 victory, so they consolidate their place at the top of the Elite League. We'll come back to the league table in a second. Nottingham, stinging from that Ice Arena Wales defeat, took the frustrations out on the poor Coventry Blaze. 7-1 up after only 2 periods on Sunday. They ran out 8-3 winners overall, but Coventry did get 2 points from the weekend the night before, a 4-1 win at home to the Capitals, and a game that witnessed Jacob Johnson, JJO, kicked from the final minutes of the game for abuse of official. Manchester compounded the Capitals' weekend, following up their own home win over Dundee with an end-to-end affair in Murrayfield that eventually witnessed the Storm seal the 4-point weekend with a 6-4 victory. Also in the Gardiner Conference, Brayhead followed up a convincing 5-2 win over the Flyers in the Shopping Centre with a nail-biting game at Dundee Ice Arena. Overtime couldn't separate the Stars and the Clan, and Lefebvre's side finally got that elusive win in the shootout. It was Craig Peacock being the only shooter not to score from the 3-each. Looking at the league tables, and we'll look at the conference tables as well, I suppose. Cardiff still leading the league. 36 games played, 55 points. The Giants are only 1 point behind them, but have played a game more. That's 54 points from 37. Sheffield, well, had they won even one game against the Giants, they would have got a little bit closer, but they didn't. So they've fallen a little bit further away. They're still on 47 points from 35 games, 2 games in hand on the Giants. Nottingham Panthers are 7 points back from that on 40 points from 34 games. And then you've Brayhead, Fife and Manchester, Coventry, Dundee, and then Edinburgh, 34 games, 23 points. Looking at the Urquhart Conference, the Belfast Giants sit top of the Urquhart Conference. 23 games played, 32 points. The Cardiff Devils, well, they're 3 points back, but 2 games in hand. Sheffield, they've played 23 like the Giants, and they're on 26 points, 6 points behind the Giants. Nottingham and Coventry are at the bottom of that table. In the Gardiner Conference, Brayhead, who we'll talk about in a short while, they top that table, 23 games played, 33 points. Then Manchester, Fife, Dundee, and Edinburgh. Just obviously I've whizzed through that, Davey, but a few thoughts maybe on the table or any standout results this week?
The table is just, it's getting tight at the top again, you know, and it's just, we go over this every week, Paddy, there's still an awful lot of hockey to be played here, and I'm just glad that we've managed to force our way into the reckoning, and it's going to be an exciting sort of, another 6 weeks anyway.
Says, you know, Coventry, they're struggling at the minute. You know, they're third from bottom. They've still got Dundee hot on their heels with regards to if Dundee win their games in hand, they go above them. So they take the win over Edinburgh at home, but then they go and they get absolutely destroyed by Nottingham the next night.
Yeah, Coventry have, you just don't know what team's going to turn up. You know, Brian Stewart is, you know, he's quality goaltender, but, you know, he's not getting much help back there, and obviously conceding the 8 against the Panthers. I don't know if he was taken out after a certain amount of them. I have no idea. I didn't look at the game sheet. But, again, he just doesn't seem to be getting much help. And you know, Dundee, I've been... We found it difficult enough to play against Dundee. You sort of Dundee line up and sit and go, you know, you don't understand how they're actually sitting in ninth place, because there's some really, really good players, and as do the Coventry Blaze. So it'll be a real battle between those two teams to see who actually does get in and get that last place in the playoff group itself. I think it's a little bit out of reach for the Edinburgh Capitals, but we'll have to just wait and see how it turns out.
Do you know, Paddy, I was talking earlier to my BFF up in Dundee there about just how they're going. Obviously, a great win for them in Brayhead at the weekend there, penalty shootout win. It's just saying, you know, they're starting to get healthy again just at the right time. They've got a pretty decent run in. I think they've only won one game that's not a conference game. So, you know, they're playing the rest of the Scottish lineup. And, you know, if they get healthy, you got to look that they're probably going to be looking at the 8th or 7th slot. So, you know, say for the sake of argument, and this is only a hypothesis, the Giants won the league. As Simon said, would you really want to match up against the Dundee Stars given the games that we've had against them this season?
No.
Yeah, you want to match up against the 6-0, but that's against a team that was struggling with bodies. They came really short benched and, you know, on a bad travel day and got humped 6. All the other games have been shootout wins, shootout losses, 6-5s, 5-4s. That's not what you want to go in. Then if they sneak into that 7th place, and the likelihood is Brayhead are going to win that Gardner Conference, so they're automatically going to be seeded 2nd. So, you know, it's going to be Dundee against Brayhead potentially if they can get up as high as 7th and, you know, an all Scottish affair, one Scottish team definitely going to the Final Four. And you wouldn't bet against Dundee against anyone if they're healthy or on any given night. So, as Simon, there's a lot to be played for at the top and the bottom of the table. It's good for the league and, you know, and fans of every team that I think the conference system has allowed it to be competitive at both ends of the table and teams probably bar Edinburgh, who traditionally fall away at this time of the season. You know, I think every other team still has something to play for, but I think Edinburgh will have a say in who goes to the final or who certainly gets in the top 8.
Absolutely. Right, well, time for the fan agenda in association with Belfast Giants TV. What should we be talking about? Let's go to Twitter. Let's start off with one from somebody called @MarkHitchy. Never heard of him. Would Walser play whistle more often if he were physically able? We talked a little bit about this earlier on, Davey.
Yeah, and I give Hitchy my answer to this earlier on, and Sizz will probably come in the back of it because Sizz gets to see a lot more of practice days and probably knows a bit more about the reasoning behind why whistle would maybe come in on a Saturday night and Murphy would start on a Sunday as has been the sort of the way so far this season. But their numbers, you know, said it earlier in the show, I'll not go over too long and reiterate. Murphy's numbers, 9.17 across the season so far. Whistle, 9.14. Brilliant numbers from both goaltenders. Both goaltenders. The system is working where one plays one night and one plays the other night. I don't believe that there's any reason for Jackson Whistle, if he was fit, to be playing more hockey, other than he missed a lot at the start of the season and Murphy has carried the load. You know, the credit has to be given to Stephen Murphy here. He's played 30-something games. It's not like he's, you know, he's only played 50% of the games. I think Whistle's about 12 games and Murphy's at 30. So, you know, Murphy carried us through that hard part of the start of the season where we weren't playing particularly well. And, you know, and he gave us opportunities to win. Because if we didn't win those games back in October, November time, we wouldn't be where we are now. So I think, you know, chat of Stephen Murphy's demise is very, very early.
Simon?
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. You know, I think that, you know, Murph itself, we know what we'll get from Murphy. Maybe a couple of seasons ago, he was even through, well, he got that injury towards the end of the season. And you know, we had to bring in Carson Chewback. And you know, since then, he came back in. He was maybe a little bit slow at the start of last season. But since then, he's been absolutely brilliant. And this season, it's just going to show that he's just quality, absolutely quality. And I think it's only a matter of time before he's maybe the next guy to have that number retired, because he absolutely thoroughly deserves it.
We're going to hear from Ryan Finnerty later on, and he does describe the goalie tandem as the best 1-2 punch in the Elite League with regards to goalkeeping, but we'll have that in a little bit. We'll do one more because we're running into the hour here, boys. We'll do one more. John Dornan, sorry, he says, any coincidence that we finally get into the dirty areas around the crease and pick up a shedload of goals?
No, not at all. You go to the blue paint, you get rewarded. You know, the players learn that very, very early in their career, and And, you know, there's a lot more players that have been going more recently because it's infectious as well. Once one player sees that, one guy's, he's been in there twice, look at Rutherford getting two goals there within 10 feet of the net on Saturday night. And Saviano wasn't too far away for his game winner. He was only probably 10 feet from the net as well. Colin Shields maybe 15 feet and taking one timer, taking a deflection off a stick. So we got a little bit lucky there for the first goal on Sunday. But no, it's something that you learn very, very early when you're starting to play hockey as a forward. You go to the blue paint and you get rewarded.
One of the things, Davey, I was chatting to a coach during the game, the second game, the Sunday's game against the Sheffield Steelers, is somebody really good at the edge on the end of the creases, Blair Riley. Obviously, he's got a bit of a well-rounded game and is playing fantastically for us, but getting right into those dirty areas, a fantastic player. Steve Saviano as well in the corners.
Big Riley's got size. He's not scared of anyone. There's a couple of times at the weekend there where, he carries himself very like a Suez of old, where players are not so much looking to fight, but they know that, he's probably not one to be messed with. And, we talk about going into that blue paint, and Riley's more than happy to go in there. He's got the size, he's got the wheels, he's got the hands to go in there and control it. So, that holds no fear for him. And Rudy getting his two goals at the weekend and the power play down low, Saviano going in there. And we have players in there that are starting to get willing to go in there. As Simon said, it's infectious. Winning becomes a habit, and all of a sudden, everybody wants to get on the score sheet. And the goals have been really well spread around. Even, Boxy and Toey and Kiefer's lines coming up with points over the last number of weekends as well. Everybody's contributing, and that comes from hard work. But one thing that I noticed about our team at the weekend was the willingness to take a hit to make a play, none more so than Rudy coming up. I think it was either the third or fourth goal on Saturday night, where Benny ends up putting it in the net after a lovely feed from Foster. But all the hard work done, and Divvy Phillips steps in to Rudy on the halfway line, more than happy to take the hit and just lay the puck off for Foster to go in and goal. And
takes out O'Connor as well.
Takes out O'Connor as well. And one thing for me that came from the weekend was the work rate of our team. We matched and bettered Sheffield in every department. Work-wise, we outworked them and down in the corner, down low, and we outworked them in our own zone. We got the puck out well. The couple of goals that came up against us is, that you would want back again came from that not being able to clear the zone. Pressure from the Sheffield Steelers doing it. But yeah, I thought that across the weekend we were superb, and a lot of that coming from hard work, which goes back to hitting the blue paint.
I love these 4-point weekend podcasts when we're just basically coming back to the games and talking about the brilliant moments of it. I love it. We're going to move ahead because there are three games to talk about. Thanks to everybody for your questions. Keep them coming through the week at AVFTB on Twitter, hashtag TFA, or send an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. Yes, three games to be played in the space of the next few days. And first up, we play the Cardiff Devils in the Challenge Cup semi-final. First leg, 7:30 p.m. at Ice Arena Wales. A rematch of last year's semi-final, and the year before that was the same, yeah? Or did we play them the year before that in the semi-final? Back of my head.
Can I look it up?
You go look it up.
I go look.
You go look it up and come back to us. First and second in the league with taking on in this semi-final. 7 wins for the last 10 games in the league for the Cardiff Devils. And of course, they have the added incentive with the final being an Ice Arena Wales, says.
I do, Paddy, and it's they've been really, close games, apart from the one game where they sort of got away at the start of the season. But if some, Cardiff have been top of the league deservedly for the last number of months, and you know exactly what you're going to get from them. And, they've been good in their own barn now for the last couple of years, especially a big blue tent and then moving into the IAW. And it's one of those ones where I think that, the guys will be very pleased if they can get out of there. If it's a loss and then get out of there with maybe a goal down, maximum two, then I think it'll be a good return comeback in the Belfast the following week. However, I think we're capable of going to win it. We're in good form. The guys will be really boosted with the 4-point weekend in Sheffield. And, I certainly think they'll be going to win. I don't think they'll be going just to make the numbers up and maybe try and get on the counter-attack to a certain extent. I don't think that we can play that way. And I do think that we're capable of going to Cardiff and picking up a win.
Was it right, Davey?
We've had them a lot. Yes, we've had them in the semi. We've had a quarter and two semis over the last three seasons.
Yeah, I see. The old grey matter's still there. Where are the dangers, mate? You've seen the Cardiff Devils there with the Giants playing them. You know, you've been just down the road from you. Where are the dangers this Cardiff Devils side?
Cardiff Devils are stacked, Paddy. You know, you want me to call their roster up and start rhyming names off? They've got talent everywhere. They've got good goaltending. They're huge at the back, and they're feisty. They're rough. They're sandpaper everywhere. They want involved at every stoppage and play. They're hard. Fournier, you've seen the hit Fournier put in on Fozzy the last time we were down there. Haddad, Hotham, all got size and willing. Bordalo will be back in the lineup. Didn't play against us the last time, obviously. Always going to be involved in the physical side of the game. And they've got goals from the likes of Doucette and Joey Martin's always going to come up. You know, they have got talent on every line. Every line is dangerous for them in every shift. The potential to score, but so have we. It's just going to be, it's a very difficult one because it's you know, it's the first half of a six period game. And do you go in there and do you play any differently, or do you just go in there and play it like a normal game? It's difficult to say because we do have to treat it slightly differently, in my opinion, because, you know, I think we just need to be tight and try and take something back to the SSE. I just don't know. Simon, you know, will have played these six, and I've played football obviously in aggregate games as well, and you maybe treat the game slightly differently because you don't want to be out of it, but you know it has the potential. You also have to treat it as part of our league campaign, that you've got to go in there and set a marker down. They've got to come to us. We've got to go back to the, you know, Ice Arena Wales at the end of the season, and we've got to go in there and put on a performance and say, you know, this is what we can do in your arena as well. So it's all set up for a really, I think that's the potential. We'll play them six times between now and the end of the season. Nice little rivalry going there. Part one of a six game series, but you know, as you say, it's three periods of hockey. We've got to come out there within touching distance. If not, with a lead would be, you know, fantastic.
What's your bare minimum?
Just to come out with some, Paddy. I don't like making score predictions. You know, I think we just want to come out within touching distance at the very, very worst. You know, I don't want to talk about coming out with a narrow loss. I want to go in there positive that we'll come out with a win. But, you know, you'll take with being within touching distance going into our own arena.
Simon?
Agree. I think if we can go in there, a goal, if it's a loss and we can go in a goal down, maximum two goals, and I think we're in with a shout. But I honestly think we're capable of going there and getting a result.
Yeah.
That game is on Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. from Ice Arena Wales. If you're not making your way over, if you're not going to be there like Davey and possibly Simon, you can get it on Icetime TV. Log on to them. Some brilliant coverage there from Alad, John and Gareth. Early in the show, we talked about the Sheffield Steelers, and we've just talked about the Cardiff Devils. Time to move on and look at the Brayhead Clan now. What do those three teams have in common? Well, our next guest, Mr. Ryan Finnerty. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing? Good.
Not too bad. The Brayhead Clan this season, you're home for your 3 points from last weekend, but your home form of late, probably not the best. What have you put that down to?
It's tough to put your finger on, you know, why a team struggles at home compared to the road. You know, on the flip side, I think we have the best road record. So, yeah, it's a bit pretty crazy, but we've been playing better at home recently here. We picked up some good wins and had some good performances. So, you know, our confidence is definitely up, which is huge considering I think we play the next eight games. You know, the next month we don't leave Brayhead.
It's yes, if when you watch you guys, you could be as you did beating the Sheffield Steelers in Sheffield in overtime one day, but the next day you're struggling against the Manchester Storm. With all due respect to both teams, is that a frustration to you when you can see your team perform one day, but then wonder how they can't pull it out the next?
Yeah, I think it's been, you know, we've been pretty consistent here over you know, my time here as far as wins and losses, and this year it's been difficult. It's been tough to get on a run and to get any consistency going. But at the same time, you know, I like my group here. We got a good group. It's just, you know, finding ways to win hockey games. And I find a lot of times we're finding ways to lose games when we're in good control and giving up leads or you know, just making making bad mistakes that are costing us at key times. But, you know, I think every coach could probably, you know, unless you're sitting in first or chasing them in second, I think every coach could probably say that about their squad right now.
Early on in the season, you had a bit of a, let's say, a problem or an issue with injuries to your number one netminder in Zarkowski. And of course, Guy Russell had to step in, and he was very adequate and did very well in that position. But what effect did that sort of, what effect did that really have on the team?
Well, not really any effect. I think, you know, Gary stepped in for us last year and did a really good job on more of a short-term basis. And I think we felt and we owed it to him to carry it this year. You know, and I think he did a great job. I think he's played 12 or 13 games, you know, as a British backup. So I think we felt we needed to reward him. You know, not a lot of guys in the backup position get those chances. And I thought Gary earned it from last year. And, you know, we didn't go out and replace Z right when he got hurt. So I thought Gary played great for us. I thought he kept us in games. He's won us a lot of games. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll probably see a return for Gary going down the stretch here. We'd like to get him some more games.
I'm keeping with the British theme. Young Jordan Bouessa got his first point against the Manchester Storm there the other week. How's he been getting along? How's he developing in this sort of apprenticeship approach that you've brought in?
Yeah, we kind of adapted this approach, and it's great. You know, obviously we haven't been in a lot of games where we can get Jordan out there, you know, a ton. You know, we've been in a lot of one-shot hockey games, but we've had quite a few injuries lately, and there's an opportunity to use him in a 2-1 game at home to Manchester, or 3, whatever we ended up. And he got a point there, but he's been down to working in Solway, you know, where he's playing power play, and he's on the puck a lot, and, you know, he's kind of playing a first line role there and more of a, you know, a sparing role for us. And I found that relationship's really, really working really well. You know, he's still keeping his game shape up and learning a lot from us in practice every day. So he's going to be a great kid. He's only 16, comes from a great family. I definitely think he's got bigger aspirations in the AHL.
So Breja Klan sitting fifth in the league and top of the conference. When you look at the team and assess what you're going to get from the remaining, 15 odd games in this season, what are you looking at? What are you aiming for?
I think we're looking for consistency within our game, you know, and usually when you can do that and play to a certain, you know, certain level that we set out, then the wins kind of follow. But, you know, our personal goals, obviously we want to crack in that top four in the league, and we want to win the conference to get that second seed for playoffs.
And when you look at the battle for the top, obviously you've been a former Steeler and a former Cardiff Devils. You know, who do you see coming out top in this sort of battle for the title?
Yeah, it's you know, it's the first year I think in probably my coaching career where we're not in that in that talk, and it's tough, but it's also been it's been fun to kind of sit back and watch and see, you know, right now, you know, we all know what that's like. You get in that last 20 games and every game's a game seven and scoreboard watching and you know, when you're looking to see what's going on around you while you're trying to take care of business, and it's exciting. And I still see it as a three horse race. You know, everybody counts. You know, everybody's down on Sheffield right now, but that only goes until one of the top two teams lose another game, and then that just tightens up. And it's fun. It's what makes this league exciting. This is kind of what this is kind of the playoff style for us, as our playoffs are very short. But, you know, we have a 52-game playoff, and it's a long run, and we're kind of down getting into the home stretch here. And, you know, I don't know. I couldn't call it right now, to be honest. And, you know, with the league being so tight and so competitive, and any team can walk into any building and win or lose on the night. And I still think we're going to see some twists and turns in that title race.
Well, this weekend you take on the Belfast Giants for the last time this season in the regular season. The Giants have had the Clan's number thus far. What are you expecting from this weekend? What chances are? How are you going to fight back and get that one game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't want to get skunked by any team here. And, you know, in the past, we've always done well against Belfast. This year, they've had our number, you know, and we've played well against them some games. We've got blown out a few, But they're, I mean, Derek's put a good team together. They're quality side. They got great depth. They got, obviously the best 1-2 punch in goaltending in the league here. And, you know, it's not going to be an easy task, but I think it's exciting for us. It's the only, you know, we're only focused on the one game this weekend. We only play on Saturday. So it's going to be a good test for our group. We're going to put a lot of emphasis on it and, you know, a lot of, you know, character judging is going to go on because we want to see how we can raise our game to match, you know, arguably the hottest team in the league right now.
Thanks to Finner. Yep, 4 wins from the last 10 games for the Brayhead Clan, 7 p.m. on Saturday night at the Shopping Centre in Elite League competition. They've really lacked some consistency, but they've obviously got like likes of Becca and Pitt racking up the points for them. There's no webcast, but the likes of Clan Stats from the Purple Army podcast, that's Ross, he does some really good updates. So keep on AVFTB, we'll point you in the right direction. You're not going to this one, Cesar, are you?
I'm hoping to, Paul.
Oh, are you? Maybe.
Yeah, I'm to be honest, I'm sitting here booking my flights for Wednesday night now, and I'm flying back Thursday morning, and I'm hoping to get over for the weekend, Brayhead and Edinburgh. So I would like to try and get over, but I just had to double check with the ex-wife and everything's right. So yeah, hopefully it'll be okay.
The Giants, of course, are undefeated to the Clan this season and are hoping to make it a clean sweep. But obviously, as Ran Finnerty said there, he really does not want that to happen. 7 p.m. Saturday evening from the Shopping Centre, the Brayhead Clan. And then they travel down the M8 to Edinburgh to take on the Capitals at Murrayfield, 6 p.m. Obviously, the day before, you'll have had Ireland against Scotland. And then on Sunday, you'll have Edinburgh against Belfast. This is the last trip of the season to Murrayfield. But the Caps really aren't having a good time with it. 2 wins from the last 10 games. And last time the Giants were there, they won 6-3. Davey, from this weekend, Caps and Clan, what are you expecting?
The Clan have kind of struggled this season against the hard teams. And obviously, the Edinburgh Capitals just struggle on ice generally. So, Paddy, it's one of those things, mate. I don't like, I've said already in this show, I said in the last one, it's the part of the show that I'm starting to dislike the most, because you've got to say the same things every week that we've got to come out in front foot. You got to go with the same professional attitude. I think that's the most the thing that we've got to do the most. We've got to be professional. We've got to go out there and do a number on these two teams, because, you know, on paper and on form, you know, we'd say that we should win these two games. We hate doing that because it always comes back to bite me in the backside. But, you know, do a professional job, outwork the opposition. Same in football. You go out there and you win the battles first, and then, you know, ultimately you should come out and win the war because you've got slightly more quality. So hopefully the boys are well prepared. They'll have, you know, a day of rest today, a bit of a travel day of rest, and they'll back on the ice tomorrow preparing and hopefully to go on and keep the run going.
You know what, Davey, I'll do my best to try to spice this part of the show up for you, see if we can change it up a little bit. Simon, you know, Brayhead and the Caps, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Brayhead will be, you know, it'll be a difficult game. We've been very lucky to get every time we've played them this season, we've come out on with a W. So, you know, I think the boys will want to try and make sure that continues, but that'll be hurting Brayhead, and they do have their top line is 3 quality players. They really can move the puck. They've got a lot of points on the board. I think they are leading the first, second, and third in the Elite League. This are, well, the total league, both the cup competitions the cup competition and the league. So it'll be difficult. They're definitely beatable. We've proven that. This guy, Zakowski and Nett, we talked about Mustakov's giving some rebounds out, and Zakowski does exactly the same thing. And if we play the way we've been playing, and if we can build on the weekend on Wednesday night and then moving into the weekend, you know, you should be walking out with 2 wins, but it doesn't always work out that way. Look at, you know, the weekend. 2 weekends ago, we beat Cardiff and then went up into Dundee and lost in the shootout. So you can't take these teams lightly, and everybody in this league is capable of winning against any other team. And if you take your foot off the gas, then you have a chance of getting punished. So I think we're good enough to get the 4 points, But concentrate on Wednesday, first of all, and then Saturday, and then Sunday.
See, Davey, Simon seems to enjoy this part of the show. What's your problem?
I've done it 150 times.
Fair point.
Honestly, because it's just cliches, you know.
Yeah.
When Simon listens back to it tomorrow, he'll be able to ding them off one by one.
That game on Sunday, 6 p.m. at Murrayfield, the Edinburgh Capitals. Any other business, gents? No?
No.
I think it's been pretty comprehensive, don't you?
Yeah, again, I just think the guys all need a pat in the back.
Certainly.
You know, I heard you, as I say, that interview with Derek Walser immediately after the game and getting those 4 points against Sheffield, and Sheffield was brilliant, Paddy.
I got a bit overexcited in that interview.
I could hear my voice.
definitely,
you certainly did seem to enjoy it, and why not? You know what I mean? It's difficult enough place to go into and get a result, and they outplayed them twice in their own barn. It was absolutely brilliant. So thoroughly deserved, in my opinion. I think we were outstanding. And all the boys, every single one of them contributed to those 4 points.
Absolutely. Right, well then we'll wrap up the show. Thanks to Ran Finnerty and to Steve Saviano for their time and coming on the show. The player of the month, as I said, at AVFTB on Twitter for that. Cast your vote by Thursday 9 p.m. for Demaree, Higgins, Martinelli or the goalie tandem. And the award sponsored by Phonocab will go to the winner at the next home game. Thanks to everybody also for your TFAs and your three-word weekends. Thanks to Mr. Kitchen and Mr. Majimsey. Enjoy your time on Wednesday, boys.
Yeah,
looking forward to that.
I've literally just booked my flights. So that's me. I'm going to Bristol. I'm going to be my wee mate Davey's going to get me left down the road. So
fantastic. And just a quick reminder, it is the three C's, Connor Caldwell's favourite Belfast bar. The three C's, Cardiff Clan and Caps. Cardiff on Wednesday night, 7:30, Ice Arena, Wales. In the first leg of the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. If you're not at the game, Icetown TV for coverage. Brayhead on Saturday, 7 p.m. at the Shopping Centre at AVFTB. For updates to that, or maybe at Clan Stats, we'll give you all the information anyway. And on Sunday, Edinburgh against the Belfast Giants, 6 p.m. from Murrayfield, Caps TV for their webcast. It's been a very enjoyable show to do. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Yeah.